Blog Talk Radio.
Tuesdays are the time to strengthen your roster depth. It's the Through the Wire podcast with Paul Kelly and Tom Brawley from FantasyGuru.com.
Today is Tuesday, November 17th. We are getting set for week 11 already here in your fantasy football season. This is the Through the Wire podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. We've got our full waiver wire article up on the site for subscribers. We like to get together on this podcast every Tuesday, talk about some of the guys we know you are wondering about, some of the guys we know you're considering picking up this week. I'm Paul Casey, writer for the aforementioned, along with Tom Brawley, senior writer for FantasyGuru.com, and we'll run through these guys position by position as we normally do. And we'll start at the quarterback position where, Tom, we've got some new starting quarterbacks here as we head into week number 11. We've got Brock Osweiler taking over for an injured Peyton Manning in Denver. We've got Case Keenum taking over for an ineffective Nick Foles in St. Louis. And now we have Johnny Manziel in Cleveland. It was announced this morning that he will be the starting quarterback for the rest of the season for the Cleveland Browns. So let's talk about each of these guys and whether or not we should consider picking him up. I guess we'll start with Johnny Manziel because on the surface, he seems to maybe have the most upside here because we've seen Josh McCown put up some big numbers in this Browns offense. We know Johnny Manziel can put up some points with his legs as well. So where do you stand on him? Are you taking a flyer on him?
I might if I was desperate. The one downside is he does have a bye this week, so you're missing out on, immediate help here. But, he's coming off his best game. He threw for 372 yards, and he had his best half before that game against the Bengals, too. So, he's at least trending upward. He's getting the ball to Gary Barnage and Travis Benjamin, the guys that have been making plays all season long with Josh McCown. And let's face it, I mean, the Browns haven't been able to run the ball all year. They're 2-8. They can't stop anybody on defense. So, at least there's an outside chance that Manziel has to throw for 300 yards just to keep this team competitive most weeks. So, he has a chance as a streaming option.
And this is interesting. The move to Brock Osweiler in Denver is interesting just because Peyton Manning has been so ineffective. Just 9 touchdowns versus 17 picks this year. You've got Demaryius Thomas, who only has 1 touchdown on the year. So I don't know that this move is much of a downgrade at all, and maybe it's even good news for some of these guys in Denver.
Yeah, this is a little trickier one. I mean, Peyton hasn't been a good fit for Gary Kubiak's offense this entire year. He likes to sit in the shotgun and, run his spread, spread type offense. Maybe Osweiler comes in here. He's a better fit. He's a little bit more mobile for the play action that, Kubiak likes to run off of his, two tight end sets here. So, maybe it's a little bit better fit, but the problem is here, this is still Peyton's team. So, maybe if he rests a week or two here and he says, I'm ready to play again, Osweiler's out unless he somehow lights the world on fire here. So, that's the only issue here. For Peyton, owners out there, if you're still out there, it's time to, cut him loose this week. There's no need to still have, you don't need him around anymore. Even if he comes back and starts to play again, his best days are behind him. So he needs to be dropped in every league.
Yeah, in St. Louis, I don't know that anybody's excited about this switch to Case Keenum. We've seen him before. We know the Rams would prefer to only throw it maybe 20, 25 times a game if they can and just grind it out early. But Keenum is a starting quarterback in the NFL, so if you're in a 2-QB league, you're at least looking at him this week. Also, Mark Sanchez in Philadelphia. Now, we did see Sanchez put up big numbers for fantasy last year when he was leading this Eagles offense. Now, the entire offense hasn't been as effective here in 2015 as they were in 2014. But we get Sanchez in there. Maybe he lights a fire under these guys. I don't know. What do you think about Sanchez?
Yeah, we still need to see more about, if Bradford is actually going to miss time here. It's still up in the air here a little bit. He did have a concussion and, the AC sprained. So it's looking like he could miss at least a week here. And he gets a great matchup against the Buccaneers. You can't ask for there's better matchups, but it's still a top 10 matchup for him. But, we saw the typical Mark Sanchez last week when he came in. Moves him great, moves him right down the field, and then throws the back-breaking interception in the red zone. So, That's what you're going to get from Sanchez. You could get 300 passing yards, but you might get the one touchdown and three INTs. So, you know, he's viable if you're, you know, streaming this week.
Tony Romo expected to be back and starting at quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys this week. If he's somehow still available in your league, I think you pick him up. And right out of the chute here, he's got a pretty good matchup against the Dolphins here in Week 11.
Yeah, if he's somehow still out there, you know, he's worth a look here. They're still in contention by a hair here. Everybody in the NFC East doesn't want to, you know, it seems like nobody wants to win that division. So they still have a glimmer of hope here. So, and you know, now that he has, you know, Dez back, you know, he'll have his full complement of players here. So he's worth a look, you know, for as long as he, you know, there's always a chance that, you know, these clavicle collarbone issues, you can get a re-injury pretty easily. I have experience back in high school. I broke my collarbone and came back a week later and it broke again. So there's always a chance of re-injury with these collarbones, but you know, Tony Romo is still worth a look.
If you're streaming the QBs, any particular waiver wire quarterbacks, Tom, standing out to you this week as maybe somebody who could come through in a 1 week kind of situation? But with Kirk Cousins, and pretty much we've seen it with any quarterback against the Saints. Saints aren't playing this week, so we don't have that luxury there. But any quarterback who may be available on the wire who you think maybe has a particularly good matchup here in week number 11?
I'm not seeing any, you know, real great matchups. So maybe you consider Marcus Mariota against the Jaguars here on Thursday night. But even then, like, you know, now he's down Justin Hunter. It doesn't look like Kendall Wright's going to play. So it's getting pretty depleted there for you know, Mariota here. But another guy, maybe I know Houston looked a little bit better on defense last week. I think last night, I think that was kind of a throwaway game for the Bengals. So maybe you consider Ryan Fitzpatrick here. But the only issue there, too, is he just had surgery on his left thumb right after their Thursday night game last week. So there's still even a chance that he doesn't play. So I'm not seeing a ton of great options here, like we had with Kirk Cousins last week.
All right, let's move on from the QBs. We go to the running backs now, and no major changes here really over last week or so, but let's hit on some of the obvious names if they're out there that you're going to want to look at. Matt Jones coming off a big game against the Saints. Again, it was against the Saints, and everybody puts up numbers against the Saints, but we know they like Matt Jones. He's an explosive player. We saw it on that screen pass that he took all the way to the house last week. If Matt Jones is available, he's somebody whose workload could continue to increase down the stretch here for Washington. Also, Carlos Williams for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, all this guy does is score touchdowns every single game, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, Carlos Williams, he needs to be owned, even if you don't have LeSean McCoy. I mean, this is a guy that has flex consideration or even – you know, a low-end, you know, running back too. Every week, he needs to be in lineup consideration. That's, you know, this guy does it every week with just 8 to 10 touches. It's pretty remarkable what he's done this year.
A couple of obvious choices there. Some other ones, David Cobb expected to come back here for the Tennessee Titans. I don't know, for me, I kind of want to wait and see what happens there. I mean, that backfield has been a mess all year. Antonio Andrews is still there, still working in Dexter McCluster every week. Reports that David Cobb isn't necessarily in the best shape right now, so I don't know that they kind of hand the job over to him right away. But we'll see. He's definitely worth a look. And another name I want to get your take on is Andre Ellington, Arizona Cardinals, because a lot of people cut him when he was out with the injury, came back, and really hasn't had a defined role in that Cardinals offense. Now, he did play 39% of the snaps this past week, made a couple of big plays, had a long touchdown on there, and, you know, certainly Chris Johnson is still the lead back in that offense, but it looks like maybe Ellington is somebody who might be able to produce, even with limited touches here every week moving forward.
Yeah, he's going to be your classic boom or bust option at, you know, if you're really hurting at running back here, because he's not going to get a ton of carries here, as we've seen. They're giving most of the carries to Chris Johnson here. But, you know, hey, he can make a big play like he did on Sunday night there with the draw play at the end of the game, scored basically a 50-yard touchdown. There's always that possibility with Andre Ellington. So, I mean, he doesn't need a lot of touches to – he's kind of in that Carlos Williams mode. He doesn't need a lot of touches to, you know, make things happen, but he could, you know, one of these weeks let you down. So he has that boomer bust factor.
Jay Ajayi in Miami. I mean, Lamar Miller's not going anywhere, but he has looked really good on his carries. He's clearly the number two back there now. So, I mean, he's looking like handcuff material, if nothing else. But even on his carries so far, he's at 8 yards a carry here in his first two games so far for Miami.
Yeah, you don't even have to be a Lamar Miller owner, in my opinion, to pick up a Jay. I mean, this guy, he's performed really well so far. If they ever get a matchup here in the next couple weeks where they could be out to a big lead, we could see a lot of him in the second half of a game. So he needs to have immediate consideration. The guy's performing really well.
Injury situation we need to keep our eye on here over the next couple of days in Jacksonville. T.J. Yeldon has a foot injury. He was in a walking boot as of yesterday. If he doesn't play, and again, it's a short week. They play on Thursday. If he doesn't go, you would think Denard Robinson would have an opportunity to get the bulk of the touches there in that Jaguars backfield. We've seen him be a productive back for the Jags in the past, and he's somebody who's most certainly available on the wire right now.
Yeah, he hasn't done a whole lot this year. I'm kind of surprised at how much they played the rookie Yeldon. I was figuring Robinson would get maybe 6 to 8 touches, you know, per game here, but that really hasn't happened. But, you know, if Yeldon can't play, they do have the short week here. That's not going to help him get on the field here. And it, like I said, he is a rookie. They don't want to, you know, jeopardize his future here. So, you know, there's a chance that Robinson could play, but the only issue is they still have this obsession with Toby Gerhardt and they have Bernard Pierce there. So, like, even if Yeldon doesn't play, I'm not running to go start Denard Robinson because I just see them splitting that backfield up between those three guys.
Gotcha. Well, we did get a little bit of clarity on the New England Patriots backfield situation with Deion Lewis down. Was it going to be James White? Was it going to be Brandon Bolden kind of taking that pass-catching role in the Patriots backfield? We got a little clarity on that this past week. It was James White playing 38% of the snaps versus Bolden, who played just 14% of the snaps. So it seems like James White is the guy who's got that pass-catching role in the backfield. It didn't translate into fantasy numbers this week, but he's somebody who's probably at least worth rostering right now, Tom.
Yeah, he's worth consideration, but you know the problem is he's not nearly as good as Deion Lewis, and Tom Brady doesn't feel the need to get him the ball out in space. And that's a big issue here. You know, he could have a good game here, you know, down the stretch, but you know, the Patriots have always been very game plan specific. So, you know, if there's some week where they feel like they can exploit, you know, a team out in the edges, you know, with White against linebackers, that could happen, but good luck trying to figure out when that's going to be.
Yeah, well, speaking of the Patriots, as we transition to wide receivers, Julian Edelman, big buzzkill injury of the week at wide receiver. He's out. Danny Amendola is in. He stepped right in last week, targeted 11 times, caught 10 of those for 79 yards. He's one of the few true wide receiver handcuffs in the NFL. There's not a whole lot of guys like that. Danny Amendola is that guy for the New England Patriots. If he's available, if you have Edelman, certainly you want to pick him up. Even if you don't have Edelman, I think you want to pick him up. He's a guy who's going to see a lot of targets right away, Tom.
Yeah, I'm kind of kicking myself. I had Edelman in the league, and I added Chris Givens this week instead of, you know, maybe adding a guy like Amendola to handcuff. But, you know, I'm not upset. Givens is going to, you know, get some work here. But, you know, now that I know what happened, I wish I had owned Amendola. But, you know, going forward here, Edelman's not going to play the rest of the regular season. We saw this is the same type of injury that Dez Bryant had. Best case scenario, it takes 6 weeks. You know, the Patriots by week 17 or 16, if it goes very well, you know, they're not going to have any incentive to rush him back out in the field. They're going to have probably the top seed wrapped up by then. So we're going to see him back in the divisional round of the playoffs. That means Amendola is going to get all those underneath targets. He's not nearly as good as Edelman, but in PPR formats, he's probably going to be a lock for, you know, at least 12-plus fantasy points going forward. So, I mean, he's the pickup of the week here, even if, you know, you don't have to be an Edelman owner to go out and get him this week.
Let's talk about the San Diego wide receiver situation. A little bit cloudy. We know Keenan Allen is out for the year. We know Stevie Johnson is the guy who should be the number one pickup there for the Chargers. Malcolm Floyd last week got hurt. We're unsure as to what his status would be, but based upon some comments that we saw from Antonio Gates today, maybe Floyd might not be coming back anytime soon, and they do have Dontrell Inman there. So, I mean, you look at this situation, Tom, where are you going on the waiver wire this week?
I definitely look at Stevie and Dontrell Inman here. Stevie's kind of in that Amendola boat where, you know, he might not do a whole lot with his targets, but he could be locked in for 7 catches for 75 yards every week. You know, kind of taking over that Keenan Allen role here. And with Inman, he's more of the, you know, he'll get more of those, you know, a couple deep shots every week if he steps into Floyd's role. But, you know, he's worth a flyer. It doesn't sound good with Floyd. I mean, Floyd is, you know, nearing the end of his career. You know, they're not going to put an injured guy out in the field, you know, with a 2 or 3 win team here. So both those guys are worth consideration. And, you know, as we've seen, the Chargers haven't been able to run the ball all season long here. Rivers is going to throw for 300 yards a game. So those yards have to go somewhere. And, you know, yeah, outside of Antonio Gates, Stevie Johnson and Inman are the two candidates here.
For the New York Giants, Victor Cruz is officially done for the year now. So he will not be playing at all for the Giants this year. We thought he had a shot recovering from that knee injury, and then he started the year, he had the calf injury, and he's not actually disappointing on the outside. Beckham is Beckham, but Randall had an opportunity here to really put some digit. He hasn't been doing it. Dwayne Harris, the guy that people don't really talk about, he's been putting up numbers here, and now that we know that there's no chance of Cruz coming back this year, is Dwayne Harris somebody that you're feeling good about here the rest of the way?
I'm not feeling good about, but you know, he's a guy that you can pick up, and you know, if you're really hurting, you can plug in. I picked him up 2 weeks ago. He burned me. I think he had one catch for like 7 yards, but of course he goes off this week in a pretty nice matchup here. So he's good. He's one of those types of players. He's either going to go off for you or he might do nothing for you. But you know, with their injuries and you know, Larry Donnell, we haven't really seen a whole lot about his injury here. You know, if he continues to miss time, you know, somebody has to catch the ball over the middle. So Dwayne Harris could be that guy.
Let's talk about the situation with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their receiving core a little bit banged up right now. I mean, Allen Hurns has been banged up all year. And then news yesterday that he was having an abdominal issue on top of the other issues he was already having. They're saying he is expected to go on Thursday night. He's playing through this stuff all year. It will be about him. But I know their slot guy, Walters, is also banged up right now. And it looks like Rashad Green may be ready to return. Marquise Lee is back. Are you looking at either of those guys on the line?
Yeah, if you're real desperate, I mean, that's the situation here. That's another offense where, you know, Blake Bortles is throwing for 300 yards every game. So, you know, if you're a Hurns owner and you love all the production that you've gotten from him this year, you know, maybe now's the time to handcuff, you know, Hurns with Marquise Lee. If you have a bench spot that's not doing anything for you, you know, in case that abdomen or foot injury gets any worse here, and if Walters misses, you know, maybe Lee or Green here. I don't know what they'll do with Green. They have Wednesday to activate him from the IR. So you know, Lee's maybe worth a shot for those Hurns owners that are maybe looking to handcuff a guy that's been hurt all year.
One more guy for me, and that's Jamison Crowder, Washington Redskins. He made some noise early in the year with DeSean Jackson out and Jordan Reed was out, and he was getting a lot of targets every week. Another guy back, DeSean Jackson is back, Jordan Reed is back. Jamison Crowder is still seeing the field quite a bit. Redskins using 3 wide sets quite a bit, so he's on the field, and he just had a productive game here. I know it was against the Saints, but he did catch 4 for 60 and a touchdown, and I don't know. I think in PPR, Jamison Crowder is a guy who is going to continue to be involved every week. And not that he's going to go off, but he's somebody who maybe could get you 10 points in a PPR.
Yeah, we've seen Kirk Cousins enough to know that, you know, he's not going to be slinging it downfield to DeSean Jackson, you know, 10 times a game here. He likes to dink and dunk it. Jamison Crowder is perfect for that. I mean, he seems like a guy that's locked into 4 to 6 catches every week. So he has, you know, that PPR value, you know, you have that luxury of knowing that he probably will get you at least 10 points every week.
We should bring up the Justin Hunter injury for the Tennessee Titans. He is done for the rest of the season. Kendall Wright is banged up. So now, I mean, you've got Harry Douglas there as somebody who's probably available on your waiver wire. You've got Doriel Green Beckham, who there's a shot that he's still out there on your waiver wire as well. And, you know, again, like we're saying with a lot of these teams, somebody has to catch the passes. obviously Delanie Walker is there, and we like him, but you would think that Harry Douglas and Doriel Green-Beckham here have a shot to make some noise here the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, the Titans are having some major injury problems at receiver here, so, you know, Doriel Green-Beckham, you know, he disappointed last week, but, you know, he still has the chance to be a difference maker down the stretch. It was a really tough matchup for a rookie against the Panthers here, but he gets to play in that AFC South here. He's going to get a couple nice matchups down the stretch here, so he's not hopeless here.
One guy who went off this week, and I'm just not buying in just because the body of work is too big and we kind of know what he is, that's Doug Baldwin for Seattle. Some people will look at that box score, see what he did, 7 grabs, 134 and a touchdown. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Doug Baldwin in that game just passes 20 yards. I mean, for me, let somebody else in your league pick him up.
Yeah, I'm taking that approach with the Seahawk passing game here. You know, all those guys. I mean, one week it's Doug Baldwin. The next week it's Tyler Lockett. The next week it's Jermaine Kearse. So if you want to go chase, that's, you know, the rainbow there, the looking for the gold pot, you know, the gold at the end of the rainbow there with the Seahawk passing game. Yeah, go ahead. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, me neither. Let's talk some tight ends here. And a lot of the same names we've been talking about here really all season, guys like Eric Ebron, still viable. Kobe Fleener, Indianapolis might be somebody to look at. But a couple of young tight ends I want to get your take on here. One is Richard Rodgers, Green Bay Packers. He's been scoring touchdowns in this offense. Hasn't been doing a whole lot more than that, but clearly they are looking for him in the red zone. And two guys in Baltimore. Talk about a team with injury issues at wide receiver. The Ravens have been decimated at wide receiver, and we saw Crockett Gilmore and Max Williams both active in week 10. And so, Rodgers, Williams, are you looking to pick up any of those guys this week, potentially, if you're hurting a tight end?
Yeah, I mean, I would look at Gilmore and Williams. I would, especially if I was in a dynasty league or a keeper league, maybe, you know, take a real hard look at Max Williams here. They drafted him in the second round. They want him to start being a part of this offense. He is a lot more talented as a receiver than Crockett Gilmore. They worked him into the passing game, caught 4 passes. He didn't play a lot of snaps still, but they're kind of splitting the snaps between Gilmore, Williams, and this another rookie, Nick Boyle, who's, you know, more of a blocking back. But you know, if you're really digging deep here, Max Williams is a guy to at least take a look at here. He probably is the most explosive receiver they have outside of Chris Givens here. So, you know, that's a guy to consider.
Yeah, and Richard Rodgers, like I said, he's been scoring the last couple of weeks. Same thing goes for Clive Walford in Oakland. I know he hasn't been doing much between the 20s, but he has scored now in 3 of the last 4 games for the Raiders.
Yeah, Walford's kind of in the Richard Rodgers they're in the same boat here. They're not really, you know, creating much separation, you know, from the 20-yard line to the 20-yard line. But, you know, they're those big bodies that can find some, you know, they just need a little bit of space down by the end zone. And, you know, they can box out defenders to score touchdowns. So if you're using Richard Rodgers or Clive Walford, you're really hoping for a touchdown. But, you know, we've seen these guys come through the last couple of weeks. So, you know, it's definitely a possibility.
And again, our complete waiver wire article is up on the website right now for subscribers, and we do update that article throughout the week as we get more practice reports in, as we learn more about some of these injuries that we are monitoring. So make sure you're checking that out at fantasyguru.com. Also, if you missed anything for the weekend, check out our Stock Watch article. It caps the entire weekend. Any player that you're wondering about is covered there in the StockWatch article up at fantasyguru.com. So that's just about it for us. We're going to wrap it up. For Tom Brawley, I'm Paul Kelly. This has been the Through the Wire podcast, and we'll